No, I agree with what you're saying, Mr. Blood. There was also a picture going around the internet after Monday Night Raw when Sheamus beat Austin Theory with the bro kick. Austin, Grayson Waller was kind of like looking with his back turned to the ring, kind of looking down, smiling at the fact that Austin Theory got beat.
I caught that. I caught the smirk. I caught that smirk. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with those two. Becky Lynch
I
and
hope they
Lyra Valkyrie.
incorporate that. Hope they incorporate that in the story, that freeze frame. I hope they bring that up.
Probably. We'll see. Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyrie had another in-ring segment and they got physical. And compared to last week's, just like this whole episode of Monday Night Raw, the Lyra Valkyrie, Becky Lynch had a segment last week that I thought was completely horrible. This week they turned around and they shut me up. All right. Becky Lynch came out. She did her Becky Lynch things where she was yelling at the crowd, acting heelish, acting being the key word, and cut a promo about garbage, calling other people garbage. This whole promo was garbage by Becky Lynch, but Lyra Valkyrie came out and made the save and she absolutely cooked Becky Lynch. Lyra Valkyrie this week on the mic was completely different than last week's. This week she was like the delivery was on point. Her confidence was there. She was cocky. She was like, I'm the fucking champion. Not true. I'm the first ever Intercontinental Champion. Not true. Oh wait. Sports Illustrated said you were good. So, and it was Lyra Valkyrie got over with me this week with this segment. And I know we're going to do predictions later on for Backlash, but if Lyra Valkyrie, I want to see her win so bad now. And if she doesn't win, then I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be mad. Lyra Valkyrie deserves to fucking win, but she got the better of Becky Lynch tonight. Tommy, you're up first. What did you think about this?
I do love how cocky she was. 'Cause it was perfect for this. It truly was. Especially with the Sports Illustrated thing that you brought up. She's like, okay, let us name your accomplishments then. You were one of the four horsewomen. You were the first ever SmackDown Women's Champion. You were the first ever Women's Intercontinental. Oh, wait, no. That was me. I did that. Like, I loved it because it fit her so well. And she truly did dig deep into Becky, especially at the beginning when Becky was just like, I took out the garbage. You are supposed to thank me for taking out the garbage that is Bailey. Thank me for taking out that garbage. Like, no, stop it. And then Lyra came out. It's like, wait, are you calling me recycling? Because if you are, you're kind of going back because you've been recycling the same shit for years. And I absolutely love that because with her and with this matchup, she needs to be cocky.
Yeah,
She truly does. Because
absolutely.
Becky, she can definitely get into your head. She truly can. She's done it in the past. She's just like her husband on that account. Both of them can absolutely play as many mind games as they can, and they can truly get into your head. Lyra cannot let that happen. And tonight, she proved that she's not letting that happen. Becky's not getting into her head at all. And it's perfect. The brawling happens. They even backed it up, like, wait, no, this ain't happening, this ain't happening. Then Becky started talking again. I said, fuck y'all, I'm going after her. And it, again, it fit because the way they were brawling, Lyra truly showed that when it comes to Becky, She's not letting her in her head. Yeah. Like, she can play as much as she wants, but none of it is going to work. She's still going to be a fighting champion and might even stand a chance on Saturday.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree 100%. BT, I know this isn't your favorite people here, but remember, TikTok language, please.
I will do my best. But I gotta at least do this.
Why are you wasting paper, bro?
Fuck this feud. It is needless. Needless. Becky Lynch cut an okay promo, okay? I was fine with it. I'm glad that she shouted out the girl who was crying when she came back. For those who don't know, her name is, I think it's Courtney. She's popped up on TikTok a few times. She's a fellow Kiwi, a big fan of Becky Lynch, obviously. And I know she must be over the fucking moon ecstatic right now. But overall, Becky's promo was decent. And okay, I will definitely give it that. Let's go to Lyra. The cockiness. It was fucking cringe, okay? It was cringe. I did not like it. And this entire thing is just... I don't want to see the match. I don't want to see it. They could have done this 10 times better. I don't even want to see the fucking match between these two. That's how turned off I am from this whole thing. Because Becky's trying to bring up the whole Bayley stuff. And speaking of Bayley, Bayley had every right to call out Triple H and everybody on the Chris Van Vliet podcast. He had every right to fucking call him out on the fucking interview.
Wait, did she really?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, shit.
And then after that, it spiraled with Karrion Kross.
Mm.
After that, we heard what Karrion Kross was fucking going through. He started shooting on what he was going through behind the scenes. Just not that long ago, he released a fucking documentary on his YouTube channel.
It's out, talking by the about, way. I watched it. You can see it on YouTube. It's out right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, hold on there, BT Knight. I have a question for you because the promo, sure. the promo that I saw by Karrion Kross, it was a great promo, but it was more like a working promo. I felt like, was the things that Bayley was saying, was she really actually shooting, or was she trying to work like Karrion Kross?
She was actually shooting. She was actually shooting.
She straight shot from the hip, man. You got to watch it. She literally said to Chris Van Vliet, it's great that I get all this nice recognition and everything else, but you can give me all the recognition I want. Look at where that's got me. Like, she straight up just said, you can pat me on the back, but you haven't booked me like it means anything to you at all. It's just words. It's basically
exactly. Exactly. And she also said there's a reason why she stays here and she isn't up here, because she feels like she's being too nice. And I fully fucking agree with her. Even Karrion Kross, when he was on the documentary on YouTube, right at the end, the words that he said, he is that one guy that doesn't give up. When people say to him, don't worry, the grass is greener on the other side. Fuck that shit. Fix your grass. Water it. Use some fucking tools to make it more green. Like, every single fucking afternoon, because we live in Australia and it's fucking always summer where I live, my grass is always passing out. Like, it's always unalive. We always use water and we're always using fertilizer to bring it back to life, right? Why the fuck can't Triple H and Creative do some bullshit or do something with these people? And Bayley deserved so much better than what happened at WrestleMania. She did. And I know they're using it as a story for Becky, but it was fucking needless, especially after what Bayley had done over the past year as the women's champion. That's how you treat her? Fuck that. But overall, this feud, I'm not interested in it whatsoever. I don't care what happens.
Yeah, you know what? I got a second what BT... I got a second a lot. Not all of it, but a lot of what BT's saying here. I would be a lot more into this feud for two main reasons. One, it happened a year ago like it should have. That's one. Because a little late for me, honestly. And now... if you had done it a year ago, I could have cared about Lyra more in the last year. I haven't given a flying fuck about this woman. I have not. This is the most interesting she's ever been tonight. She finally, thanks, showed some personality. She's been champion for how long? So as far as I'm concerned, that's reason number one. Reason number two, that it's hard for me to get into this feud. And I love Becky Lynch. It's hard for me to get into this feud. Because Becky pissed me off. And I mean that legit. She pissed me off. Not the case, they pissed me off. The actual report that came out that's been corroborated in the wrestling news is that the whole return that Becky had at Mania, winning the titles with Lyra to drop him the next night and turn heel on her, it was all Becky's actual pitch to Triple H to come back. That's how she pitched her return to creative. That came out in the news last week.
So Becky Hogan allegations are fucking true.
That was I'm not even bullshit. You can check it. PW Insider reported, Wrestling Observer fucking reported, Sean Rostap reported on it. It was her pitch. She pitched that to creative. Her return that she wins the tag titles with Lyra so they can drop the next night and make it Lyra's fault so she would have a reason to turn on her. So she could turn heel. She said she wanted to turn heel so she can work with Lyra to build up the title. And this was the only way she thought it would work.
Wow.
It was almost like 2 years of booking squeezed into two nights. Hey, yeah, ragtag tag team, a champion and my underling, and we win these titles together, named the biggest show of shows. We have our defenses. You lose and cost it. And then I finally turn on you. It was like 2 years of storytelling. Squeeze into two fucking nights here. And that's why it feels so rushed, and that's why it's so hard for anybody to care. Because normally a story like this that we've seen before, by the way, we've seen this. This is a copy and paste story we've seen before. Normally they take 9 months to a year and a half to tell this before that kind of breakup happens. Like when they had Rey Mysterio and Batista tagging together for all that time. And then finally, you know, hey, Batista turns because it feels like Rey screwed him one too many times. You know, like, we've had this story. I would have cared more. But now I'm legitimately angry at the story because it came at the expense of Bayley. Because the story that we're being told, that could have been told a year ago had Becky stayed and told the story first and then fucked off the vacation and take care of her daughter, which I understand. You have a child. I completely get it. I'm not shaming her for wanting to take care of her kid. Completely commendable. But I'm not going to praise you for choosing to be a parent while you're in this business. That was your choice. But at the same time, if you have a story to tell right there that you are presently in the middle of telling, finish that fucking story and then leave for a year. Okay? Because we were sat here with our fucking, with our shit hanging out, waiting forever. Okay? So now we've gotten to the point where the story's getting told almost a year late. And now, in order to tell it, you've got to screw over someone who's supposed to be your actual friend and a colleague of yours backstage. And to get your story over, you pull her off of her own Mania match? And the worst part is, they agreed to do it. They didn't tell Becky, we want her on Mania. We've been telling a story with Bayley and Lyra and this and that, and we want to fit. They said, oh, wait, you're willing to actually come back? Oh, wait, you'll come back at Mania. If we book it, you'll come back. Well, yeah, but I want it to be this. Okay, let's do it. So you fuck Bayley over literally the fucking SmackDown or whatever the fuck it was right before the Monday Night Raw right before? Oh, you got to find a mystery partner. Well, if I'm Bayley, I'm going, gee, so glad I put in all that extra work the last year. And then we get the segment we got last week, which was pretty piss poor. And then we get to this week where the fans still don't know if they even want to boo Becky because they try to cheer her through a lot of this promo because they were agreeing with a lot of what she said. You see, a heel is supposed to be good at manipulating the truth. She's sitting there telling the actual truth, and the fans are like, you know, you have done a great fucking job in this company. You're right. And it's like, she's the heel, guys. Boo her. What are you doing? Becky, stop selling them on your accolades and start manipulating the fucking past to make yourself look better. That's what you're supposed to do.
We got an interesting comment here by Thomas. Shout out to Thomas. Bayley will get her moment and get revenge by winning the title from Becky at SummerSlam.
And I'm sure she will get her comeuppance that way, and they'll crown Bayley the Intercontinental Championship or champion. But I'm pissed that they had to go this route to do it. You pulled the girl off of Mania after a year of backbreaking work here. If you guys haven't seen that Chris Van Fleet interview with her, it's really heartbreaking. A lot of to listen to, like, you see the pain, you hear the pain in her voice, and it's like she really is giving a lot to this. And unfortunately, her career is now having to come to a point where it can only continue, and it's at the expense of her bigger star, a former stablemate in the Four Horsewomen, having a better story be told, and in the story's not even that good. So
I'm gonna have to
Lyra
listen
held
to that.
Her own here. Lyra held her own here, but you know what? I'm ready to see the JD McDonoughs and the Austin Theories and the Baileys and the Karrion Crosses get their fucking moments in the sun here, because I'm getting real sick and tired of all these people returning to steal the spotlight from guys who've been working their asses off a lot longer. You know, Karrion Kross, have you guys noticed he's getting cheered? Have you noticed he's actually getting cheered now? That's because of his documentary. That's because of the promo he cut. That's because of the Chris Van Fleet podcast he was just on last week too. Everybody's getting behind these guys. They're getting themselves over because everybody's starting to see that they are getting screwed in their own careers and not being given the opportunities that all these other people are having handed them time and time and time again. And with this promo, Lyra sat there and she basically, in my opinion, kind of spoke for all of them and said, you're not taking my fucking time in the sun, Bayley or Becky. You fucking had your time. This is my turn. I'm making history now. I'm the champion. I'm the fucking star. And like I beat you on NXT, I'm going to beat your ass again at Backlash. So as far as it's concerned, I want Lyra to win. I don't need this to continue past this week. I'm sure it will, but I really just don't need to see this anymore.
All right, Toxic, anything you want to add about this?
At first, I was interested. I'm like, okay. Exactly what I said about the prediction of the Bayley and Lyra and versus Liv and Raquel. Tag match. Could be good. Could be shit. I said that. And that's what I said as soon as I notice this was going to become something. I'm like, could be good, could be shit. Mm-hmm. And it's not leaning over to good, it's leaning over to shit. I don't like it. I'm with Blood and BT.
And I'm the complete opposite. Last week I was hating it, and then this week I'm actually a little bit more interested in it. So we'll see what happens. They are going to have a match at Backlash, but let's stay on the women's division.
We're 3-2. Two of us liked it. The other three hated it.
Yeah. Let's stay on the women's division really quick. And I don't want to spend too much time on this. It was Io Sky versus Roxanne. I don't want to talk about the actual match. I just want to talk about what is happening with Roxanne and Julia showing up on Monday Night Raw. Are they on Raw or are they still on NXT? Some wrestling news sites are reporting that they're on Raw. Others are saying they haven't been called up yet. Are we waiting for the draft? I have no idea what's going on. The only thing that I do know, this is the second week that Roxanne is on Monday Night Raw with Julia. Julia, are they ruining Julia? They being the WWE. When she first came into NXT, she was like this brand new, mysterious, had this mystique, this aura about her that she just came from Japan and she was supposed to be like something, somebody. And now It looks like Julia's in the main roster, but she kind of, to me, she's kind of coming off as like Roxanne's kind of flunky, you know, kind of like, I don't know. She's just always, she's not the one that's having the wrestling matches on the main roster. It's Roxanne. Roxanne is being presented as a main member of this team. And then it's Julia ringside. Julia with the sneak attacks behind their opponents. And it's just like this, I don't know, man. This is a completely different Julia from when she first came into NXT. Do you guys remember when she first came into NXT? Like there was, I don't know what's happening here, but just really quick, do you guys have any thoughts on any of this that we saw tonight? Go ahead, Blood.
Yeah, I remember when she debuted on NXT. It was literally just, what, like middle of last year, tail end of last year. It was a pretty big deal. They cited her as this legend and rock star of Japan, you know, and she came in as a baby face, if I remember correctly. So I'm like, y'all turned her heel quick as shit. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, like, she had so much fanfare when she came over NXT. So it's kind of jarring to go from, you know, being this massive booked over person on NXT. And I, if I remember correctly, she was like dealing with the chick who's also been wrestling on SmackDown every week, Stephanie Vaquer. I think it was Stephanie Vaquer she was feuding with at first, and Roxanne, if I remember correctly. And it's like, well, I blinked, haven't watched NXT live in a minute, and then she's a heel jumping in on Raw. It's weird. I agree. Yeah. She does come off more as a backup to Roxanne than someone who's a bigger deal than Roxanne, which is weird because the way they touted her in NXT, she is a much bigger deal than Roxanne should be. That being said, the match is what it was, but yeah, from the news site reportings that came out last week, apparently – and the one I heard on Tuesday after last week's Raw, apparently this is a soft call-up leading into a full call-up because now they're trying to fill out the women's division after they let go some other talent, and they're shuffling the deck around now. So as far as I'm aware, we should expect to see these two on Raw pretty regularly now.
All right. I want to give a couple shout-outs to Walter. Thank you for the follow. Shout-out to Thomas, once again. I think Julia couldn't get over as a baby face, so they're working her as a heel. We also have some potential breaking news. I say potential because this is the first time I'm hearing this. Nakamura left the WWE. And also Thomas, once again, moment Stephanie came in, the crowd moved onto her leaving Julia behind. So that could be the reason why they're doing what they're doing with Julia now. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. Let's move on really quick. Do you guys want to talk about the Rusev match versus Otis? Nope. All right. Sounds good to me. What about Pat McAfee and Gunther face-to-face? They cut one hell of a promo, I thought. Pat McAfee's so fucking good on the mic. There's a reason why he's where he's at right now. Because, man, that boy can cut a fucking promo. Gunther did as well. And this promo battle, if you want to call it that, that we saw tonight did its job, which is get you interested in their match. Gunther pretty much told him, hey, reality check, boy, I am fully locked in after my loss at WrestleMania. Boy, I'm coming for you, boy. Like, I feel kind of bad for Pat McAfee. He's in a bad spot. Being the first opponent after Gunther lost the World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania, Gunther's going to come in hot. Pat McAfee better watch out. I believe you're up first this time, dude. Go ahead.
What a fucking segment between these two. Gunther and Pat McAfee. People have been complaining that this match is needless and unnecessary, and to an extent, I can see that. But the big difference between Gunther and Pat, and Michael Cole and Jerry fucking Lawler, is that these motherfuckers can actually go in the ring. And no disrespect to Jerry Lawler, but he was wrestling at a very different time compared to other superstars. You know what I mean? And he wasn't that fully gifted in the ring like everybody else is.
Well, but actually, I don't know if we can say that.
He will always be condemned as one of the best commentators for sure. In my opinion, he wasn't that best in the ring. He has hell of a charisma though, and he can cut hell promos. But in ring wise, kind of jiffy about it. Anyway, Pat McAfee's promo, they get you teary because he's so passionate. You can feel the passion in his voice. When he was talking about, I'm trying to remember the point of the promo that he was talking about.
He was pretty much he was pretty much saying that Gunther, since he's been champion most of his career, this is more like a job and not really like a dream for Gunther anymore.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. When he said that, I'm like, thank you. And he even said, you've been champion for 80% of the time that you've been here. And I'm like, finally, somebody fucking brings it up. Like, it's not a passion for Gunther anymore. It's just a job. Whereas people who have passion, they are somebody not to be fucked with. That should have been clear and evident when it came to Jey Uso, because he's passionate as fuck when it comes to wrestling and when it comes to making a name for himself. But yeah, Pat's promo was awesome. Gunther's promo would have been... He cuts the same shtick all the time. You know what I mean? He even said the same thing he said to Jay. At some point, the bell's got to ring. And I'm like, Jesus, he's not Jey Uso. You got to get him out of your head. Because Pat can fucking go in that ring. Does anybody not remember the steel cage match that he was a part of? Does anybody remember that shit? Fucking jumped off the top of that motherfucker too. Not only that, was doing fucking suplexes at WrestleMania 38. Like those super suplexes where you just jump on the top rope clean as hell. Like LA Knight. Like, this motherfucker can go. But this match, I'm not going to lie to you, this is the match that I'm very excited for. Because one, I want to see Pat McAfee get a lot of offense. Two, I secretly hope that Pat McAfee wins, but I know he's not going to. Because already the rest in peace memes have been going nuts after this one fucking promo that Pat McAfee has cut. Everybody has been talking about it. Well, we will be part of the condolences ceremony. We'll be part of this funeral. We're very sorry, Pat. Rest in peace. I'm not going to be surprised if they write him off of TV after this match. In case of how bad he gets beaten, I'm not going to be surprised if he gets written off of TV. I'm not going to be surprised. But yeah, this is the match I'm very excited for. Hell of a segment between these two.
I thought this promo was wow. I mean, as we're literally like in the, like when we're watching live, I was in the chat like, bro, Pat Mac, and I was like, I fucking love Pat Mac. I mean, dude, he is cutting the greatest promos. Like, and I said this, I said, you know, I said, you really forget just how fucking good of a talker he is. And Tommy goes, well, of course, he'd have to be. He has a talk show. I wonder why he's so great. And I'm going to make the same point that his sarcastic remark that I made to him that I'm going to say now. when it comes to pro wrestling, there's a difference between being on a talk shows and being in interviews, which I've been in talk shows, I've been in interviews. There's a difference between that and cutting promos in a ring, which I've done when I've cut promos in a ring. And you either have it or you don't. Even if it's not completely scripted and you just have your promo notes. Hell, if you're pulling the rock and the notes are on your forearm and marker. The point is, delivery is everything. Because if you give the promo that Pat McAfee cut, let's say you have Akira Tozawa cut it. How good is that promo? Not very. If it's word for word, not very. You have to have it in you, the passion. You have to be able to not only dictate what you're saying on the mic, but you have to be able to literally put everything into it. Your feeling, your emotion, know when to stop and pause for the audience. Know and recognize your cadences when you're speaking your lines. And know to keep the eye contact. Ramp up the drama in your words. Know when to pause. And Pat's a master at that. For a guy who does not cut promos fucking often, he does not lose a step. And I thought, from putting over the town, right, to putting over the football team, to putting over himself, to putting over Michael Cole. I mean, the only reason Michael Cole ever gets chanted is whenever Pat McAfee gives his props and then the whole arena lights up for Michael every time. And I thought it was incredible. And it sold me on the fact that, you know what? He talked about dreams, but there's an old saying. The biggest killer of careers is complacency. The moment you get comfortable, the moment that the job just becomes the job and it's no longer the dream or the passion or the fuel in your life, is the moment you should quit the job. And I thought this was beautiful because Gunther has been champ for 80% of his WWE career, from NXT UK all the way to this main roster. If you're going to be champion for the majority of your career, what do you have left to prove? You don't have to chomp at the bit. You don't need to climb the mountain and touch that brass ring anymore because you've had the brass ring for 80% of the time. Your arms got tired of carrying it, so you set it down. That's exactly what happened when he fought Sammy at Mania last year. The complacency made him overlook Sammy's passion, and Sammy's passion was stronger than Gunther's comfortability, and it cost him the IC title. The same thing at Mania. He overlooked Jay's passion to be main event Jay, to be the world heavyweight champion, and he blinked. And Jay taped his eyes open and got the 1-2-3. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. You tapped out. And the thing that I think is great about this is Gunther looks at me and goes, did you enjoy your daughter's birthday party last weekend? It was a good weekend for you? This weekend's going to be great for me because I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to brutalize you. I'm going to bruise you. I'm going to batter you up. You think I'm complacent? No, I'll get back to the World Heavyweight Championship thing. Don't you worry about it. I'll get back to that. He even mentions that he's going to go get back to Jay. But he's like, when it comes to this Saturday, I promise you, you have my full undivided attention. And bro, I know this match is going to be great, but there's no way Pat McAfee walks out of this without looking like he got run over by a semi-truck. But it's going to be one hell of a fucking time. And Pat is going to bring it to Gunther in a way Gunther wasn't ready for. No matter how prepared he says he is, Pat's going to show him something. And I'm ready for it.
Toxic?
I agree with everyone else. This match is going to be freaking amazing. I'm so ready for this. Also, an argument Pat can make is, I'm undefeated at WrestleMania. That dude down there sitting at the commentary, he's undefeated at Mania. I wonder who's not. Oh, wait, that's you. You're not undefeated. You lost to Sammy. You lost to Jay. Actually, no, you tapped to Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the only, I'm pretty sure the only Mania win Gunther has is against Sheamus and Drew. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, what I thought. He only has one Mania win and Pat has two.
80% win streak, but a 33 and a third freaking a win rate at WrestleMania. His WrestleMania streak is doing Steiner math.
Anyways, I hope Pat kicks Gunther's ass.
Damn, that's wild. All right, Tommy, take us home, dude.
All right, so this is what I'm going to say about this. I love this, especially with, as Blood said, how passionate he truly is. He will push and push and push until he can't push anymore. Words, he will do the same. Physically, he will do the same. He will continue to push. But there's one thing I'm going to say, and Blood, I'm about to make it worse here. He's not walking out. If anything, he will be carried out in a damn stretcher by the time Gunther is done with it. That is just how it's going to be. And B, with your little comparison to Jerry the King Lawler and Michael Cole, yes, you are correct. That was a different time. In fact, I'm pretty sure Blood and Snug will remember this. That was during the Kiss My Ass Club era.
What back was exactly?
Because Vince had that little thing where the entire thing was to have literally everybody literally kiss his ass.
I mean, I still remember when Jerry Lawler went up against The Miz in a great ladder match. And Jerry still had it in his 60s.
No, so, I mean, it was Jerry King Lawler was wrestling for his time. He was one of the greatest of all time.
But to be able to keep up with a very early 30-year-old Miz or late 20-year-old Miz, highly impressive.
I mean, he's when he was younger, Jerry the King Lawler was no like Will Ospreay or nothing like that. But he was good. Exactly.
Yeah, no athlete in the wrestling industry was like that back then. That wasn't the style.
Yeah, and I think BT's comparing Jerry the King Lawler by today's standards.
Yeah, he's very different. But because Gunther is such a throwback, Gunther wrestles like the people in Jerry's day did. Yeah. So it still works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And after this whole segment, Michael Cole and Pat McAfee were having this thing. It's just like, do you really think you can do this? It's like, oh, yeah, I honestly think that him saying that I have his undivided attention is a compliment here. Like, he truly thinks that that's a compliment. And I get that he does, but that's also when Gunther is at his most dangerous. And Jay has seen that at Mania. He truly has. So has Sammy. Yeah. When you have Gunther's undivided attention, this man is deadly.
TikTok.
I want to see some color. I think this match needs some color. Let Gunther get that mean streak back. If he says he's going to brutalize Pat like you brutalized Jimmy.
Well, let's save it for the predictions, Blood. What's up, BT?
You know what I want to see before Pat and Gunther go in the ring? Jay and Pat have a conversation in the back. Jay tells Pat to keep focus and be careful because we know what happened when he said the exact same thing to Jimmy. I think we could cook something there if they were to do that.
Tommy, anything else you want to add before we get up out of here?
I still think that he is being carried out in a stretcher. Because I do not see a way that he walks out of this. I just don't see it. But the real question will be, will he have a legitimate entrance, or will his theme hit and he walks from behind the commentary desk?
He's going to have an entrance. He'll probably leave commentary the match right before. But I'm kind of mad they got rid of his Five Nation Army entrance. I love that song. But I think the stretcher makes a lot of sense. But the scene that needs to end with the stretcher, the old lifts up the thumb and the whole crowd gives him a standing ovation. Because I think that's what's going to happen. But I agree with the stretcher
thing, yeah. I would love
it. I'm all right. Just go to get my ice bath.
All right. With that, that was a Monday Night Raw. Gonna have to edit that out. Well, with that,
dictionary.
Yeah, get the dictionary. That was the Monday Night Raw review with the Snug Wrestling Podcast. You guys, stay tuned. We're gonna be doing predictions here pretty soon, hopefully, for Backlash. We haven't figured it out when just yet, but we will. We'll get them to you. Until next time, my name is Edgar. I'm the host. Good night, everybody. No yeet. Let's get out of here. Bye.
One more.